Yes, Brother Arthur, now then to come forward and lead us in the study of Malachi chapter 2.
My beloved brethren and sisters in Israel's glorious hope, what a sad introduction we have to this second chapter of the book of Malachi. That which we are to consider this morning. And as Brother Matthew said, it's difficult not to speak and to give exhortation from this book of Malachi. And we think of the two words that he mentioned, self-examination. Self-examination, and indeed to search our hearts. Oh, now, ye priests, says Yahweh through the prophet, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith Yahweh of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. What a terrible indictment upon the priests, brethren and sisters. They were the custodians and teachers of the law. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Here was a sober warning, brethren and sisters, and one that you and I too must consider. A theoretical knowledge of the truth is not sufficient, as Brother Matthew has brought out in his words this morning. The truth must be in our hearts, and it must be the motivating force in our lives, so that Yahweh's name might be glorified. We remember those words. It is God manifestation and not human salvation was the great purpose of the Eternal Spirit. The Lord Jesus said to one of the scribes who asked him, which is the first commandment of all? He replied, Hear, O Israel, Yahweh, our Elohim, is one Yahweh, and thou shalt love Yahweh with thine Elohim with all thy heart, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these, that we love Yahweh with our Elohim, indeed, with all our mind, with all our strength, and that we love our neighbor as ourselves. But it was evident, brethren and sisters, that this was not the case with Israel in the days of Malachi. For the prophet speaking on behalf of Yahweh said, For I have cursed your blessings already. Behold, I will corrupt your seed. The covenant that Yahweh made with Israel stipulated plainly what would happen if Israel did not keep their part of the covenant that he had made with them. We read in Deuteronomy 28, Blessed would they be if they hearkened diligently unto the voice of Yahweh to do all his commandments. But cursed would they be. Cursed shalt thou be in the field, and in thy basket, and in thy store. And because of their waywardness, Yahweh had, in the times of Malachi, corrupted their seed. The Revised Version has rebuked their seed. for corrupt, which occurs 14 times in the Old Testament, is always read and rendered rebuke, except you. And in Jeremiah 29, verse 27, Yahweh had rebuked the seed in the ground so that Israel were feeling the effects of poor harvests. They were feeling the effects of poor harvest. And the Revised Standard Version goes further and it says, I will rebuke your offspring. So we have the idea that the fruit in the ground was rebuked and what wouldn't bring forth. And also the seed, the fleshly seed of the nation, the young people coming up, so that they, growing up in the nation, would not bring forth fruit, and the fruit of righteousness unto Yahweh. And history has proved that so true. I will corrupt your seed, says Yahweh, and I will spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. Such was the contempt of Yahweh toward them because of their waywardness, and he would not accept of their sacrifices, but as it were, threw it back into their faces. The dung of the sacrifices was taken outside the camp and burned, symbolizing the repudiation of sin. So Israel was soberly warned, if they did not lay these things to heart, if they did not consider these things and alter their ways, as the dung was taken away out of the camp and burned, so they would be taken out of the land, which, as we are aware, brethren and sisters, sadly came to pass in AD 70. When the Roman army came and took of the land from them. And they which did not die in the siege went through a terrible fire of affliction. They went through and still are going through a terrible fire of affliction. The Apostle Paul speaks of the goodness and the severity of Yahweh in Romans 11 when he says, on them which fell severity, and it was severe. But towards thee, that you and I, brethren and sisters, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise you and I will be cut off. A sober warning, is it not, brethren and sisters, for you and I in our day? These things have been kept until this very moment in time, that you and I might be exhorted by them. For we are we not, in this day and age, the custodians of the word of life, as were the priests in the day of Malachi? We are priests unto God, and we too must act accordingly. Who may abide in the day of his coming? Or put in another way, who shall abide in that day of reckoning, when the hearts of men are laid bare before the judge? The prophet goes on in verse 4. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi. For my covenant was with him of life and peace. This was what they were promised. Yahweh is the only one that could make this covenant with anyone, to give them a life and to give them peace. And this is what the covenant concerned of. And I gave them to him for the fear or the reverence, as Brother Matthew had recently brought out, wherewith he feared me. And I gave them to him for the fear, reverence wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts. But sadly, says Yahweh, he had departed out of the way. He have caused many to stumble at the law. He have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith Yahweh of hosts. Levi replaced the firstborn in each family in Israel, because they proved faithful when Israel went astray. Firstly, when Moses was in the mount and they lost faith in his return and began to worship the golden calves. Moses, on returning from the mount and seeing them, hearing them singing and dancing before these idols, cried out, "Who is on Yahweh's side? Let him come to me." And the tribe of Levi separated themselves unto Yahweh. And they slew every man his brother, every man his companion, every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi, we read, did according to the word of Moses and joined, which is the meaning of the word Levi. They joined themselves unto Yahweh in faith. The other instance when the tribe of Levi showed themselves on Yahweh's side was when Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab, who called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people, we read, did eat and bowed down to their gods, and joined themselves unto Baal-peor. So the anger of Yahweh was kindled against Israel, and Moses said unto the priests of Israel, "Slay every one those that were joined unto Baal-peor." And we are all aware, are we not, brethren and sisters, how Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, on seeing one of the children of Israel come into the camp with a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, went into the tent and thrust both of them through with a javelin, so that the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. Yahweh says, "He feared me, and he was afraid, he was in awe of me and of my name." And Yahweh made a covenant with Levi. Levi did not receive an inheritance in Israel, for Yahweh was their inheritance. Thus their whole lives were to be dedicated, devoted to the service of Yahweh, and in following his ways, and in teaching the people the laws of Yahweh. And wherever they lived in the land of Israel, it was their duty to teach the laws of Yahweh, and also to be an example unto the people. And if they did this faithfully, they would be blessed, and those seeing they prospered would follow their example. As you and I, brethren and sisters, are priests unto Yahweh, and that we too should be examples to the people among whom we live, teaching them the things concerning the kingdom and the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, in the days of his ministry, said to the people, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." This is what the priests had failed to do in the days of Malachi. "My covenant was with him," says Yahweh, "of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he reverenced me, and was afraid before my name." The law of truth was in his mouth. "He walked before me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. What a contrast, brothers and sisters, to the priests now in the days of Malachi, who had turned their back upon Yahweh. What they did, those priests that were faithful to Yahweh in the days of Moses, brothers and sisters, was not easy. What they did was not easy: to slay brother, friend, and companion who had gone after the idols. But by their faithfulness to the truth, they saved many in Israel. And did not the Lord Jesus Christ say, "Whosoever loveth father, mother, son, or daughter more than me is not worthy of me"? The lesson for us, is it not, brethren and sisters? We must be a separate people. And not only separate from the world, which sometimes can be easy, but also from those brother, companion, friends who do not walk in the truth. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge. This applies to us, brothers and sisters, to you and me. It applies to us, for we are the accounted priests of God. And as the tribe of Levi was taken instead of the firstborn, and thus inherited the privileges of the firstborn in Israel, so we in Christ have entered into a covenant relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and are accounted as the ecclesia of the firstborns. The Apostle Peter says, "Ye are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his glorious light." How important then, brethren and sisters, is it that our lips keep knowledge? And Matthew brought this out when the wise man in Proverbs says, "Your instruction, be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching at my gates, waiting at my post, at the posts of my door." The importance, brothers and sisters, of the daily readings, of the meeting around the word of life, precious faith, meditating upon the word of life that we have before us. There, watching at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. In verse 8, brethren and sisters, of that prophet of Malachi, the prophet says, regarding those of his day, "But he had departed out of the way." What a terrible thing to be said of them, brethren and sisters. "He had departed out of the way." And our minds go back to the days of Noah, when God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. It was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Brethren and sisters, there is only one way unto the kingdom. There's only one way unto the kingdom, and that is God's way. Try to enter in any other way is futile, as we are shown in the parable of the marriage of the king's son. Each one of us are to be arrayed in that linen garment which speaks of righteousness, and walking in that way appointed. This is what those priests had failed to do. They had failed to walk in that right way. Turn with me to the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. And verse 16. Therefore, pray not thou for this people. Neither, I'm saying, I've got the wrong page. Verse 16. Thus saith Yahweh, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen to you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore, hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it, just as they did in the days of Malachi. Thus saith Yahweh, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And that is the only way, is it not? And that was the point that I meant that Matthew brought out in his remarks from Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The priests in the days of Malachi failed to walk in right ways. Verse 9 of that second chapter shows us the contrast between them and those in the days of Moses, so that Yahweh said, I have made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. What an indictment, brethren and sisters, upon those who should have been an example to the people. At that time, those words, when he would make them contemptible, had not been truly fulfilled. For very often God speaks as though a thing is accomplished. But unless they changed their ways, unless they changed their ways and accepted the love that Yahweh poured upon them, it would become an accomplished fact, and they would become abominable. The priests and the people were guilty of breaking the covenant of Yahweh. They were guilty on two grounds: their failure to honor their responsibilities to Yahweh, and their failure to respect their duties toward their brethren. In this I have made you contemptible, says Yahweh, hateful. And our thoughts go to the days of the ministry of the Lord Jesus, when the Jewish priests and the leaders of the people were humiliated in the sight of the people, for the Lord Jesus showed to them what these priests really were. They had now become hypocrites, play actors. They had become no more than play actors. Instead of being priests and honoring the law, they had become play actors. And he called them vipers, whited sepulchres, blind guides, etc. Not had it said to them that they have not done it unto the least of their brethren, they had not done these things unto him. From verse 10 of this chapter, brethren and sisters, the prophet turns to the nation of Israel as a whole, and he says, have we not one father? Have we not one father? And the prophet includes himself when he says, we, hath not God one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by the profaning the covenant of our fathers? They who should have been united as one in their relationship with God, who had called them to be a people unto himself, were guilty of evil practices. While the priests had defiled the covenant of Yahweh and had rightly received the condemnation of the prophet, so the prophet now reminds the people that they too were under covenant with Yahweh, and that they too had defiled that covenant. The covenant of Yahweh made, that Yahweh made with Israel at Sinai, revealed that Israel were to be a separate people unto Yahweh, that is, separate from the nations about them. But they had broken that covenant. They had broken that covenant, and they had made marriages with the very nations around them. The prophet says, why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah had dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of Yahweh, which he loved, and hath married the daughters of a strange god. The meaning, yeah, brethren and sisters, is plain. They had married the children of the nations around them, and the gods of the pagans were looked upon as the fathers of those who worshipped them, just as Yahweh is considered a father to Israel. Judah had dealt treacherously. Yes, they had. They had dealt treacherously, for many of them had divorced their Jewish wives and had married alien women from the nations about them, so that by their actions they violated the covenant of Yahweh. For marriage upon earth is a type of marriage with him. As we read in Jeremiah 3, where the prophet says, turn, O backsliding children, saith Yahweh, for I am married unto you. I am married unto you, and I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and will bring you to Zion. But Israel's relaxed attitude towards the solemn covenant of marriage was indicative of their indifference towards their covenant with Yahweh. The Apostle Paul, in his epistle to the Ephesians in chapter 5, exhorts and says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the ecclesia and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious ecclesia, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be without blemish. So hateful to Yahweh were these things that he says to the prophet, I will cut off the man that doeth this. The master and the scholar out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto Yahweh of hosts. That is, brethren and sisters, the teachers and the hearers, those that taught these practices were lawful, would be cut off out of the tabernacles of Jacob. The Apostle Paul, in his epistle, first epistle to the Corinthians, reminds those of his day that those in Christ are temples of the living God. And he says, if any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Such an abomination or disgusting and abhorrent were and are these practices to Yahweh, that there is no other answer but to cut them off. They had profaned the holiness of Yahweh, which he loved. Or Rotherham says, which he had loved. Sadly, Israel no longer loved Yahweh, though they were going through the motions of worship, as it were. True obedience is exhibited through faith in action, not merely in words. These people, having embraced false teachers, were now losing the true standard of the law. And though still making offerings, it was all in vain. It was hypocrisy, and it was play-acting, as Jesus told them in his day. We remember the words of the Lord Jesus when he said, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honour me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." In verse 13 we read, "And to the people Malachi says regarding the divorcing of their wives and marrying the alien woman, this he hath done," or as in the margin, "this have he done the second time." They done the second time, shamefully. Both Ezra and Nehemiah had had to deal with the matter of false marriages in their day. And yet the people had not heeded the lesson, and were once again, this sin is raising its head in the land. Turn to Ezra chapter 10 and verse 10. Ezra chapter 10 and verse 10. "And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, ye have transgressed, and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore make confession unto Yahweh Elohim of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourself from the people of the land, and from the strange wives. And all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do." Such an abomination was it. But they heeded the words of Ezra and put away their strange wives. Turn to Nehemiah and chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 1. Chapter 9 and verse 1. "Now in the 20th and 4th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all the strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their places and read in the law of the Lord their God, one fourth part of the day and another fourth part of the night. Fourth part they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God." And we know very well at the closing chapter of Nehemiah, where he had to speak to them of putting away their strange wives, brothers and sisters. The cruel action in divorcing their wives in the days of Malachi had caused the wives to cry before the altar of Yahweh. In fact, it is said, they covered the altar of Yahweh with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, inasmuch that God had no regard to their offerings anymore, or receiveth it with goodwill at their hand. Yahweh is merciful. He is gracious. He is long-suffering. He is abundant in goodness and truth. He keeps mercy for thousands, forgives iniquity and transgression and sin. But he will by no means clear the guilty. Those that know their worthy law and deliberately go against it, he will not clear the guilty. He had, through the prophet, appealed to them to, in love, to consider their ways. Consider your ways, which were so abhorrent unto him, to put away their wives, the wives that they had. He appeals to them to repent, to turn about and alter their ways. And yet instead of these things, been taking these things to heart and realizing they were truly at fault, in verse 14 we read, they cried therefore. Wherefore they cried, oh, why won't Yahweh accept our offerings? What have we done wrong? Why won't Yahweh accept our offerings? What have we done wrong? The answer from the prophet was, because Yahweh hath been a witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. Did we notice those so important words, brethren and sisters? Because Yahweh hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth. Yahweh neither slumbers nor sleeps, nor does he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden lightstands, brethren and sisters. He knows our works, our labors, and our patience. He sees all. Do we forget it? Do we forget it, brothers and sisters? Yes, we do. We forget it so often. We forget these things, as Brother Matthew brought out. We don't do it deliberately, but we forget these things. Yahweh is ever before us. Those in Malachi's day had married their wives when they were young and tender. And now that they were getting older and had lost that youthfulness, they were turning to other women of the nations about them and putting away their first love, as we can put away our first love of the truth, which is abominable unto Yahweh. They were blinded, brethren and sisters, to their sin, and they gave the impression that Yahweh should have been pleased with them when what they did. Marriage is a binding contract, and therefore a union which would not be broken. But under Jewish law, they could say, well, we can divorce our wives. But these men were doing it for no other valid reason other than they were marrying these women from the nations and putting their older wives away, and so breaking the spirit of the law. This is what was the important point, which they failed to see. She is the wife of thy covenant. They had made a solemn vow, which should not be broken. In Genesis chapter 2 we read, and the rib which Yahweh had taken for man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. They shall be one flesh. Verse 15, the prophet said, did God not make one? Didn't God not make one? The man and the wife were, as we have just read, to be one flesh for life. the law. Jesus in Matthew says, speaking of the law, whosoever shall put his wife away, and whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give him a full... The Lord Jesus said, speaking of the law, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, says the Lord Jesus, whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. To break that bond, brothers and sisters, was to break the type. He had the residue of the Spirit, we read in verse 15, or as we see in the margin, the excellency of the Spirit is with Yahweh by the power and wisdom inherent in him. He made marriage complete between a man and his wife. And the question is asked, wherefore when? Why did he do this? Why? Wherefore when? What was the purpose in causing two people to become one? What was the purpose and principle of marriage? It was designed to produce a godly seed, a generation of righteousness ones to inherit the earth and to reflect the glory of Yahweh. In other words, to fill the earth with the glory of Yahweh. Without marriage, we might say, Yahweh's purpose could not be consummated. Therefore, how important that the sanctity of marriage be kept, that the children of the marriage be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the word of Yahweh. Each Israelitish woman had that hope in her that she would be the one to give birth to the seed, to the Savior of the world. How important was it then, brothers and sisters, that the Israelites considered these things, that marriage was designed for the birth of the seed, and also that from these marriages become godly seed, children who would grow up to give glory unto Yahweh. Verse 16, for Yahweh thy Elohim hateth putting away, for one covereth violence with his garment. If we eliminate the word one, which is given in italics, we get the idea that not only does Yahweh hate putting away, but hates the principle of covering evil so as to justify the evil. These Jews of Malachi's day were covering their violence towards their wives in divorcing them, in putting them away under a cloak of legality. They were doing so under the cloak of legality, following the strict letter of the law in giving the bull of divorcement, but in doing so, completely breaking the spirit of the law. Therefore, says the prophet, take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. Yahweh hates putting away. And apart from the evilness of it, and the terrible shame and suffering it caused the put away wife, and the children of the marriage, it destroys the hope for the loyalty and love that should exist between a man and his wife. And we see the effect of this in the world, brothers and sisters, the suffering of the children and of the put away wives, for the loyalty and love that should exist between a man and a wife is typical of the loyalty and love that exists between Christ and the Ecclesia. We are one in Christ as our wives are one in us. The law only condoned divorce, brothers and sisters, because of the hardness of men's hearts. The Lord Jesus recognized this when he said, the only one reason for divorce, a reason that revealed that the unity of the marriage had already been broken. So because of the hard-hearted attitude toward their wives, Yahweh refused to look upon their offerings anymore. Ye have wearied Yahweh with your words, says the prophet. Yet he say, wherein have we wearied him? And the answer, when he say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of Yahweh, and he delighteth in them. Or where is the God of judgment? Like the psalmist in Psalm 73, we won't turn to it, brothers and sisters. They saw the people and the wicked prospering, and they thought themselves worse off. Their seed was not growing in the ground, and certain things were happening, and they thought, you know, look at these people around us, they are prospering. Where is the God of judgment? Where is the God of judgment? These are prospering. Look at us. Just like that psalmist speaks of in Psalm 73. And the psalm, in that Psalm 73, the psalmist only came to his senses when he went into the tabernacle of Yahweh. When he considered the word of truth, then he realized who was well off. At the commencement, at the judgment seat, brothers and sisters, they inquired, where is the God of judgment? Where is the God of judgment, they said. At the judgment seat of Christ, brothers and sisters, they and we shall learn that God was there all the time. The God of judgment had never left them. He is there all the time. God never slumbers nor sleeps. He is there all the time. If we walk in his way, he will bless us, as those in Malachi's day would have been blessed. Yes, he was there forth all the time, giving forth righteous judgment to those who took heed to his word. He never leaves us, nor forsakes us, if we walk in his word. At the commencement of this little book, brothers and sisters, we read, I have loved you, says Yahweh. I have loved you. Yahweh loved Israel as he loves each and every one of us and draws us out of the world to be a people unto himself, a peculiar people, that we might be a praise and honour to his most holy name. But Israel turned away from him. Let us be warned, brothers and sisters. Let us be warned, for who shall stand when he appears? Who shall stand when the Lord Jesus Christ returns in judgment? Brother Matthew spoke of the very important points of this book of Malachi, that we would examine ourselves. For, says the Apostle Paul, when we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. We must, brethren and sisters, judge ourselves not by those about us, but by the word itself, that we might indeed do those things which are right and pleasing in the sight of Yahweh, that we be not cut off. We must examine ourselves, and indeed we must do those things pleasing in the sight of God. Turn with me to conclude Psalm 139. May we consider these words of David, that we might examine ourselves. Psalm 139. as an exhortation that we do not be like those of Malachi's day. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Yahweh, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou hast known my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Yahweh, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid my hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Nowhere, brethren and sisters, nowhere can we go away from Yahweh. The exhortation is that we might consider our ways, and we might do as David exhorts us to do in the 23rd verse of that psalm. Search me, O Eil, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This can only be done, brothers and sisters, through the word of life that we have before us. Those in Malachi's day would have been blessed, as Yahweh promised them, if they had indeed searched their hearts, if they had read his words and walked according to it, then they would have been blessed, and not as they were, cursed, and indeed taken out of the land. May we learn, brothers and sisters, by the examples that we have read this morning, that we might walk faithfully before Yahweh, that he might search our hearts, and on that day of account be found acceptable to have a part and place in the glorious kingdom.